right. Well, since we have quorum, let's get going. Welcome, everybody. It's only been a short time since we saw each other in Dublin, and certainly some of you I saw at the IGF in Brazil. So lots has been happening in the last month. You all have the agenda in front of you. There's one thing that I would like to add to the agenda, and that's item 3.1. And I think the thing just to add of note there also is that Lisa is no longer with .DK. So she is still currently the co-chair of the CCWG, but I think actually, is it officially as of January 1st, she will no longer be with .K, or she's starting a new role outside of our industry as of January 1st. So she has expressed a willingness to continue on with the work of the CWG on our behalf if we would like that to be the case. So we'll have a discussion about that at a future time, but I just wanted to let everybody know that so you have that information and we're able to consider that. Anyway, with that, let's get going with the official agenda. In terms of apologies, those that we know about are Abibu, Youngam, Vika, and now Lise herself because she's had a family issue that she needed to attend to. Anybody else that we know of, Bart, or that's it?
No, it's even Hero was able to join, I think, for the rest of the court, or everybody's on the call.
Nope. Okay, great. So the next agenda item is the minutes, or the minutes and the actions. The minutes were sent out on November 16th. Were there any comments or issues with the minutes? Any objections to the minutes?
Kim, did you receive any comments?
No comments.
Okay.
Okay, then we'll take those as approved. Thank you. And any of the outstanding action items, all action items have been completed. So moving on to agenda item number 3, stewardship, transition, and accountability. As mentioned, we do have an issue with the work of the CWG, not an issue per se, but a request that we can discuss in item 3.1. But fundamentally, the co-chairs of the CWG have asked to, in a sense, extend their mandate slightly. We forwarded the letter on Monday to give you a sense of what they're asking for, but it's about continuing to participate in the implementation phase. Now, unfortunately, Lise was going to walk us through the background of the letter and how the CWG intends to oversee the monitoring of the implementation phase. So I don't know at this point, since Lise has literally just given us notice, I don't know, Bart, do you have any comments on it, or should we postpone this to the
No real comments. I think it's timely. We are one of the first, and we have a council call on the 10th of December, so maybe defer this item to the 10th of December, and I'll invite Lisa for that council call again.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, this is a very, very last-minute change with Lisa had a significant issue that she needed to attend to, so we will defer that, item 3.1, to the next council call. So move on to item 3.2, and the purpose of this section is to provide some opportunity to ask questions of the CWG members, Becky in particular, about what's happening with the CCWG proposal. And just to be clear, we're not taking any decisions today at all. We're simply getting up to speed on where they're at, what's happening with the new proposal, et cetera, which I assume all of you know that on November 15th, the CCWG put forward their preliminary document, but we'll let Becky walk us through that.
Thank you, Byron. On November 15th, we published a official progress report from Dublin. It's in the form of a more or less short, as in 30 pages, summary of the proposal, where it stands at the moment of publication. At the moment of publication, there were two open issues, one related to some language in the mission statement that was of a lot of interest to the GTLGs, and the other, Stress Test 18, which involves what the ICANN board is called on to do in response to GAC advice if that advice were to be not supported by consensus. Since that time, we have closed the mission statement. We've arrived at compromise language for the mission statement. Stress Test 18 matters are still working. Denmark has put some compromise language on the table that's underway. With respect to the other issues, as mentioned, and as you probably know, we did confirm the move from moving from a membership model to the sole designator model that was discussed in Dublin. That decision has held. We have formally adopted the more sort of detailed requirements for community dialogue before the exercise of the community powers. We adopted the compromise approach on the removal of FOAC appointed board directors, and that that decision is consistent with the discussions that the CCNSO had in Dublin. We are still an approach to a caretaker budget designed to ensure that there's no, first of all, clearly that there would be no interruption in funding for IANA, but also you know, the staff would continue to get paid and all of that is being worked on. Xavier is sort of separating the budget out. As was the case in Dublin, CCTELD delegations and revocations are excluded from the scope of the IRP. A provision that obligates ICANN to respect human rights in carrying out its mission is going to be added to the bylaws. There's been an adjustment to address a concern about what would happen with bylaws changes if they are required for a PDP, and this was a matter of some concern to the CCNSO. That's been changed. We've addressed some concerns about the mission statement that the IETF IAB brought to us. So essentially, based on, you know, there have been no major changes from the expectations set up in Dublin. We've carried through on those. As I said, the document that's out there is a progress report and attempts to give a comprehensive overview of the proposal. The third draft proposal will be issued on the 30th of November for simultaneous commenting by those in the public, and also I asked those in AC, so we are still hoping that the CCNSO will be able to get its initial comments in by the 24th. Staff will then get a summary of the comments out by the end of December. So we're still hoping to hold to the timeline that we that you laid out in the last meeting. And that's my report.
Thank you very much, Becky. Questions or comments? Nigel, I see your hand up. Go ahead.
Thank you, Byron. I was just turning off mute. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
Okay. I'll be extremely brief. Good summary from Becky. I have to say, perhaps I shouldn't have been on the calls. Perhaps I should have just listened to Becky's summaries, because being on the calls and being involved as a participant, as I said in the last council meeting, has been extremely stressful and extremely confusing. I only want to pick up on one minor point in the email, and I actually want to underline and support what Becky said. Probably some of you will remember that I've been raising the issue of a human rights commitment by ICANN since the days of Rod Beckstrom, to much bemusement and rejection, shall we say. I'm pleased to say that in the CCWG there's been a general acceptance that as part of an accountability mechanism, a commitment to respect human rights has to be in. I'm concerned, however, that due to the slightly loud intervention from a former chairman of the GAC and former CEO of ICANN, that there has been a rider added to that commitment, which essentially removes all obligation from ICANN. Essentially, the current wording says ICANN will respect human rights, but we don't have to do anything about it, which is a nonsense in my book, and I think there's going to have to be further discussion on that. The consensus in Work Program 4 was either to put a generic statement in there that ICANN will respect human rights, full stop, or ICANN will accept internationally accepted human rights, or to highlight a particular baseline, which, as I'm sure all of us recognize, can only be the Universal Declaration. So it's one of the consensus was that one of those two things should happen. But essentially, at the last minute, what appears to have happened is the former, so ICANN will respect international human rights, but with a qualifier, it doesn't have to do anything about this. And this was based on a straw man that was, I think, bought by everybody on the CCWG who did not have the benefit of having read or worked on the framework of interpretation. So I'm obviously excluding the three council members and Dr. Lister from this. But I think there's going to have to be some a little bit of head scratching around that. But other than that, thanks, Becky. And as I say, I wish I'd have listened to you summarizing it rather than wasting my time on the calls.
Thanks, Nigel. And I would just ask you to put your hand down in the chat. Leslie, go ahead.
Thanks, Byron. So unlike Nigel, I've not had the pleasure of joining the calls, so Becky, your summary was very helpful to me. But I have, however, heard from others about how difficult the Stress Test 18 bid is, and I just wondered if you're able to give us a sense as to how far apart people are on that currently, and whether that is the only really big hurdle towards getting to a suitable point by the end of November.
I believe that is the only hurdle. Stephen, I do think that the PDP veto issue is truly put to bed. It was in Mathieu's note, I think, and I think that on our last call, that was presented as a completely tied down issue. on the PDP, it is an extremely stressful issue. You know, part of the difficulty is that the GAC itself does not have a united view on this. And the nature of the conversations in the CCWG are not always getting, you know, sort of a fully representative view, even if the GAC did have a view on it. It's also complicated, I think, because, you know, Larry Strickling drew some lines in the sand about it. I believe that, you know, the compromise language, Denmark has sort of proposed some compromise language that I think we will find a way through on, but to the best of my knowledge, that's the only open issue right now.
Thanks, Becky. Any other questions for Becky?
Byron, Stephen has put a question in the chat. As he's unable to speak, I'll repeat the question. Is the PDP veto issue really and truly put to bed? I didn't see mention of it in Mathieu's letter to council. Did I miss it? And I'm seeing residual traffic on the CCWG list that suggests that at least in some of the working group members' minds, this is still an open issue. What's the actual status? Is it finished business and part of the forthcoming proposal?
I believe it is put to bed, and as Stephen notes, keeping track of the current status of any item based on the traffic and the list is unbelievably difficult, but this issue is, to the best of my knowledge, resolved.
And Stephen noted it was addressed already, but just to be sure.
Okay. Thanks for confirming that, Becky. Anything else for Becky? Is it possible, Bart, to put up the document 3.3 so we can see it rather than just talk to it? Are you able to do that?
Byron, you want the full document?
Yeah, just the chart. Just the chart. Would be helpful for this next agenda item 3.3 or 3.2 with document 3.3.
Yeah.
Thanks everybody for your patience while we just put this up. I think it'll be helpful for the discussion.
This is the one you meant.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Okay, and this is for still on the same subject, update on the CCWG. This is in terms of our own logistics and decision-making process. There's nothing new here that we haven't talked about per se, but I thought the document was helpful in making it very clear for everybody what all the specific dates are that we talked about in the previous council meeting, as well as what the action items would be associated with each and every date. So the fundamental assumption here is that the CCWG itself holds the timeline that they have committed to. So that's our fundamental assumption here upon which we based our own schedule as we talked about last meeting. But I think this is a good guideline that we should all be clear on, because as we reach later in December, our time requirements to address this issue will be not trivial, and as we all agreed to last meeting, we will have to be ready to act in fairly short order, or in very short order, after the final report or final proposal is released. So I think this is a good sort of cheat sheet that everybody can see and know what the expectations on us will be at all of the specific dates. Any questions or comments on this, other than the obvious, which means December 21st to 23rd will be busy for us. No? Okay. Then we will move on to agenda item number 4. Bart, if we could go back to the agenda, please.
It's coming. Just a minute.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
And, as,
and I will say for agenda item number 4, which was the update on internet governance, Yung-Um was supposed to provide an update, but unfortunately she's not been able to join us on the call today. The update from the internet governance working group. So we will not have that, but since we last spoke, the IGF happened, held in Brazil, and I was there. I'm not can't think who on the call was also there, but I was certainly there, and it was actually a very large IGF. Apparently, they say there was 5,000 attendees in total. That seems a little big to me, but we'll take their word for it at this point. There were a lot of varied sessions. However, if there was a focus, I would say there was quite a bit, or quite a few of the sessions were around the WSIS Plus 10 that's coming up in, well, and the UN, the other UN meetings associated with that. Coming up in December. So there's a fair amount of discussion around that. In fact, the opening session in the main room, the biggest rooms, were around that. So that was actually quite interesting, and there were more follow-on sessions to that throughout the week. So you can certainly see a lot of the maneuvering and, you know, smallest wording changes can have a big impact, et cetera. So that was a theme that ran through the entire IGF, discussions around how human rights fits in, where it fits in, how the words can be added to various documents was also a significant theme that ran through the IGF. At a more tactical level, there were certainly quite a number of sessions around IXPs and the benefits of them, but unlike previous IGFs, where it's more been about how they work, what they do, why they're good for you. There was certainly more discussion around best practices, how we're actually seeing the benefits, be it performance or price or other of IXPs. So that was another major thread that ran through the IGF. I know Demi's on the call, right? Demi was certainly there. In terms of how it actually ran, the venue itself was actually a great venue, and it certainly, from a participant's point of view, it appeared to be very well organized and ran smoothly, which, having been to 8 IGFs now, I can't say that it was the same for all 8 of them. This one ran very well. And of course, as a northerner coming from the beginning of our winter, it was nice to be in Brazil for a beautiful, warm, and sunny climate for a few days. And that's my report. Peter was also there. Yes, Peter, go ahead.
Hi, Byron. Thanks. Well, thanks for that summary. I fully agree with it. There is one thing I would like to add, which struck me as a topic that was present in almost every session that I happened to sit in. And it is content control. It sneaked into cybersecurity sessions. It was raised at the public opening session. It was raised in the context of terrorism, but also in the context of intellectual property rights. Intellectual property advocates put down that it was an essential problem to solve before bringing the next building online. governments from all sorts, whether we would typically call them democratic or more authoritarian, made very clear statements that they're going to solve the content issue. The Vice President of the European Commission announced that the Commission is going to review their approach to intermediary liability. So I just wanted to signal that, in my view, this is something that the PCCPLEs in particular will be discussing for quite a few years to come. And the fact that it was very much present at IGF is almost a logic follow-up from the fact that we see more and more content control discussions taking place at ANCA. At the last ICANN meeting, I've never been at the place the last 10 years where I've seen so many IP lawyers slash cards at technical people. And so the same for law enforcement. Whether it's at ICANN or at IGF, you keep on running into Interpol, Europol, we get called at the central office to get in touch with members. So if I could just add that to your summary, content control would be good.
Thank you, Peter. Yeah, and that's a good, you certainly make a good point. Let me say the IGF, as it ran over effectively 5 days, had 10 streams happening at any given moment from essentially 9 in the morning to 5, and 10 different streams going on. So trying to pick a particular thread was a bit of a challenge, but it was a very, very fulsome agenda with many different threads happening. But Peter's absolutely right. That was most definitely another one that wove its way through most or much of the meeting. Any other questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to agenda item number 5, which is an update on the CCNSO Council elections. Since the end of the summer, the end of August, we have had 3 council elections running in parallel, sort of the general council election. And I think this evening we will find out who some of our new councillors will be from the LAC region. Correct. Do we know when that's happening?
This is Bart. Say the EU, say there are 2 issues. There are elections running in the EU region and in the LAC region. One of the issues we currently facing, and I hope it's been resolved, is that the LAC region hasn't met the quorum yet. That was as of yesterday. The EU has, so there will definitely be a new councillor from Europe. This evening we will learn whether the LAC region met the quorum rule, and the quorum rule is 50% of the membership plus 1, so that means 14 CCTO or CCNSO members from the LAC region need to vote. So that's where we are with regard to the current elections.
Okay, well, with that, I would ask our colleagues from the LAC region to reach out to your colleagues and remind them to do so, please. We do have a couple of resolutions ahead of us, or in front of us, items 5.2 and 5.3. First, are there any discussions about the election thus far, or the respective elections? Then we'll move on to item 5.2, which is the adoption of the election report for the special election in the Latin American Caribbean region. And there's a draft resolution that the CCNSO Council adopts the election report for the special council elections for the Latin American Caribbean region to replace Victor Aboud. And thanks, Gabby, for her hard work as special elections process manager. Can I get somebody to make a motion for that?
Katrina.
Thank you, Katrina. And given we're on a conference call.
I'll second.
Thank you. That was Becky, I assume, just to be clear.
Yes,
it was.
Thank you. Thank you. Given we're on a call, are there any objections? Any abstentions? So we will consider that adopted. Thank you. Moving on to item 5.3, which is the adoption of election report, special election for the North American region. We have a draft resolution in front of us, which is the CCNSO Council adopts the election report for the Council Special Council elections for the North American region to replace Dottie Sparks DeBlanc, and thanks Gabby for her hard work as the election process manager. Can I get somebody to make a motion for that, please?
So moved. I'll propose that,
Byron.
Sorry, I thought there was two people there, but I couldn't. One sounded like Becky, and...
And the other was me, Byron, is Leslie.
Okay. Thank you, Leslie. And we'll put that to a vote. Any objections? Seeing none, any abstentions? Okay, approved. Well, thank you very much to Dottie, of course. And welcome to Stephen. Welcome to the council. Congratulations. Okay, we'll move on to item number 6. And that's actually the appointment of Stephen Deerhake to the Tech Working Group. And on behalf of the Tech Working Group, the chair of the Tech Working Group nominated Stephen to become a member of said working group. Also, from the council's perspective, to note that Roy Ahrens, who's been a longtime member, will no longer be a member, but he's going to stay on with that working group as an observer. So we have a draft resolution associated with that, and that's the CCNSO Council appoints Stephen Deerhake as a member of the Tech Working Group. The secretary is requested to inform Stephen and the Tech Working Group and update the web page and email list accordingly. Can I get a motion for that, please?
Katrina, so moved.
Thank you, Katrina and Becky. Any objections? Any abstentions? Approved. Congratulations, Stephen. You're doubling down on your participation. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, with that, we'll move on to...
Byron, sorry, this is Byron. Just for the record, Stephen abstained. So...
Okay. Thank you. On to item number 7, and that's the appointment of Wafa Damani Zafuri from .tn and Hirohota from .jp as members of the EPSRP Working Group. And that's following, just in terms of some background, that's following the council resolution from back in September where the chair of the working group, Giovanni, had nominated two extra members. So we as the council have been requested to appoint those members. That's the background to this, stretching way back to September. And we have a draft resolution in front of us, which reads as follows. The CCNSO Council appoints Wafa Damani Zafuri and Hirohota as members of the Working Group Extended Process Similarity Review Panel. The secretary is requested to inform the volunteers and the working group members and update the web page and email lists accordingly. Can I get a motion for that, please?
Katrina.
Katrina, seconder?
Anybody?
Becky.
Thank you, Becky. Okay. Any objections to this resolution? Any abstentions? Seeing or hearing none, approved. Thank you very much. And on to agenda item number 8, council updates. This is a standard agenda item for us in terms of a chair update. Other than the activities that we have all been engaged in terms of council meetings, the main things that I've been involved in or participated in are the IGF, which I've already effectively reported on. And later this morning, there will be an SO and AC chairs call, and the focus of that will be all around the CCWG timelines and what's happening there. So if there's anything material that comes out of that conversation, I will certainly forward it to the council. But given the short time since we last met, there has been nothing further from me. Anything from the vice chairs?
Nothing specific.
Nothing from me.
Okay, thank you. Any councillor updates? Okay, seeing none, anything from the regional organizations? Okay, seeing or hearing none. Seeing none, we'll move on. 8.5, anything from staff that you'd like to bring to our attention?
Nope, not at this stage.
All right, well, that was quick. Second reoccurring agenda item for us is working group updates. And certainly, some of our working groups are particularly busy. Unfortunately, we didn't get the update from CWG, but I think Becky's provided us a very good one from the CCWG. So I think those ones we can take as already provided, and we'll move on to 9.1, which is a guideline review committee. And Katrina, is there anything you'd like to provide us on that front?
Well, post-Dublin, we had one call, and we discussed some updates after our meeting, a face-to-face meeting in Dublin. Particularly, Kim had worked on wiki space for the group, and hopefully it will help us to structure our work and provide all necessary information in one place. And that's really very helpful, and we hope that this the work we do with Wiki hopefully will be transferred to other working groups as well, and I hope that Kim will use the wiki to help other working groups to work too. And we also discussed some updates if necessary. The work is still in the process.
Okay, thanks, Katrina. Any questions for Katrina? No. Okay. Move on to 9.2, and that was a written update. Are there any comments on that? That was around the use of country and territory names.
Byron, this is Bart. It will be provided. It has not been provided yet. Annabeth was ill, and they had a meeting last week, but it will come, say, after this call.
Okay, thank you. 9.3, back to you, Katrina. Anything on the program working group?
Well, the program working group, we haven't had any calls yet. Hope to have one in December, but Bart, Kim, and I discussed a little bit about feedback on feedback, meaning how to respond on feedback received after the meeting in Dublin. Another thing, we also discussed our strategy for a survey regarding meeting B. One of the main points is that apparently our first meeting B will be as a normal meeting to meeting days for CCNSO, but still perhaps we'll have to redraft the survey, the one we initially hoped to wanted to distribute to CCTODs, but we will have to come up with a new new survey question, apparently, just following our discussions in Dublin. Thank you.
Thanks, Katrina. And item 9.4, FOI advisory team update. Keith, could you give us a status update on that, please?
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Excellent. The FOI implementation is making fairly steady progress. Vicky and I have been meeting with Elise and others from the IANA team. And there will probably be by January an implementation plan finalised and going out for public comment. There are a couple of little issues that require us to think a little bit more deeply about things. So perhaps I could make a bid that for, say, 10 minutes or so on the 10th of December call to discuss those curlier issues if unresolved on the 10th of December call. But, I don't think there's anything problematic, or it's just a question of...
Okay, so you wanna, we should have a decent agenda item set aside for that on the December 10th call.
Thank you. Nothing else.
Okay. Any questions for Keith at this point? Okay. Are there any other updates? I don't think so. No other working group updates? Okay, thank you. On to agenda item number 10, the liaison updates, which were are typically our written updates. I know Ron had already sent his out and from ALAC, and the GNSO one will be coming shortly. So we'll move on to agenda item number 11, which is the work plan. Are there any questions on the overall work plan? It has been updated to take into account outcomes of the Dublin meeting. No questions there, comments? Okay. Oh, we're doing pretty well on this meeting. On to agenda item number 12, which is just a list of the coming council meetings, which are also on the document 3.3 that we sent. But it's December 10th is our next call. And, of course, a reminder that we will be having a special meeting, assuming the CCWG timeline holds. We will be having a special meeting December 23rd at noon UTC. With that, is there any other business? Thank you for that catch, Leslie. It is, just to be clear, December 23rd we're having the meeting, special meeting, not September 23rd, as it says in this list right here. Good catch. Thank you. September is not correct. It is December 23rd. On that note, any other business? Okay, seeing or hearing none, we will adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much, everybody. We're giving everybody a little bit of time back in their day. Much appreciated, and we will speak to you all again on December 10th. Thanks all. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.